VentureCast.
But we do talk to our community a lot and ask them first, like, how would you feel about this? Would, you know, a couple people want this to be in agreement? Because what we don't want to do is be like, oh, we're doing this and now we're doing this and now we're doing, and everyone's like, what is, you know, what's going on? We really try to keep everyone in the loop and get a vibe, because it's really important in this business, in this collectible, in this NFT world, the community is like number one. You know, without the community, you have nothing. And one of the things Hugh Hefner did when he was running Playboy, and he even lost money off of it, it was all about the end consumer. It was all about them. So whatever it is that they wanted, he wanted to deliver that to them. And he fought a lot of times with Playboy because they're like, well, that's not cost effective and this is going to cost us money. And he's like, yeah, but this is what they want. So I want to give that to them. And no matter what it takes, I want to make sure and deliver that to them. And I always thought that was really cool because he was concerned about the end user. The end user is everything. Without the end user, you have the product. So deliver, deliver, deliver.
Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Crisscross.
Crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross. Well, crisscross, that's the premise of Stranger on a Train.
Do you remember the band Crisscross?
I do.
Miggity, 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 mack.
Oh,
do you know what they were famous for?
Dressing their pants backwards?
Yep. Well, they're into all their clothes.
Okay.
Were backwards.
They have more than one song?
Yes. They had two hits.
Got it.
Obviously, the one big one.
Yep. And I'm sure I heard that one.
You don't know the name of it?
I do not.
Shares a name with a very popular Van Halen song.
Is it something to do with Jump?
That is the name of the song. Jump, jump, everybody, jump, jump. Yeah. They played at every NBA game. Mm. You know, these kids found a way to get a song that was going to get played.
That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, what do they call that? Evergreen? It never dies? So crisscross, miggity, 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 mack.
Don't know what the second one was.
I don't either. I don't know if they had two hits or not.
But the
everybody has
plot of the movie.
What movie?
Stranger on the Train is two strangers crisscross their murders. So I give you a person to murder, and you have absolutely no affiliation with, and I do a murder for you.
Yeah.
So we're not suspects.
All right.
And then you've got an alibi, obviously.
Yeah. You tell me who you'd have me murder, and I'll tell you who I'd have you murder.
Well, I think we've already said a little too much right now on air of that we're going to do murders, but crisscross. Crisscross Murders. Great movie. Check it out.
I'd have you murder.
You're okay. Who would you have me murder? Go. Crisscross Murders.
I can't name.
Good. I want nobody murdered. I want nobody murdered.
I don't want anybody murdered either.
I don't want anybody murdered.
Nobody
at all murdered. I don't like murder.
That's why you don't do it.
I don't do it because I get caught. I don't want anybody murdered.
So basically what you're saying is the prison justice system works. Your fear of getting...
Yes. Well, nowadays, no.
Was that puberty?
I might have hit it finally.
Open the bar.
I'm just going to open
the tavern.
The tavern is now open.
Welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Planning out a murder.
Planning on a murder. What is it? How to Get Away with Murder? Isn't that the TV show?
I believe so.
Should we watch that before we?
I think we just stick with crisscross.
Part of the show is probably the crisscross method.
I don't know. I never watched it.
I didn't either.
So I can't tell you.
Yeah, no. Never seen an episode of it. Started watching The Lincoln Lawyer the other night.
Nope. Okay. Not as good as, if it doesn't have Matthew, why would you want to watch it?
It doesn't.
So, okay.
All right. I'm having a real hard time finding something to watch right now. That's why we ended up watching Cocaine Bear last night. The funniest part of Cocaine Bear, the funniest part, the cop shoots the drug dealer's hand. And he lifts his hand up and he's missing these two fingers. And that blockade is like, they're not even next to each other. I had to have repeated that line 20 times. They're not even next to each other. Oh my God.
I may have to watch it again.
The guy's laying under the bear and like, this, look at this big old boy. He's like, it's a girl. What? It's a girl. How do you know? Her vagina's laying on my ear. Fuck.
I know. All right. I got to watch it again.
That was the, what did we say? The best worst movie? Yes. The best worst movie ever.
Yeah, but at least going into it, they wanted to make a bad movie.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it is terrible, but it is so, there are so many quotable lines and so much fun in it that.
I had watched it after March Madness. I had gone over and started watching it. I don't know. And then I fell asleep.
Oh, okay.
But, so I don't remember a whole lot because I was trying to stay away. Anyways.
So the return.
I got to rewatch it.
The return of Victoria Fuller tonight.
Wow. Trifecta.
Third time guest. Oh. Well, she's the back-to-back-to-back champion. Well, no, she'd have to do three episodes in a row for it to be a
champion. Yeah, that's right.
She is our first three-time guest, and she's back because she is.
She's an amazing lady. She is rocking it. And yeah. She's going to tell it. She won. Obviously remember the other first two times she was on, she's just keep going.
Yeah, they've got exciting stuff coming up. We'll get into it with her.
Absolutely. We'll let her because we don't want to ruin it.
Excited to have her back.
As always.
Yes. It's always good when you can talk to a playmate. And guess what? Secret out of the bag. Secret time, as Bert Kreischer would say. We're talking to two playmates tonight.
It's a full night. It's a full night.
So, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if you brought it. I'm going to keep, because I really wanted to wear this for the second.
Oh, I'm wearing the same shirt love. So people can tell that that we're not phonies, that we talk to the same.
Yeah, I'm in.
Or that we talk to two playmates in one night.
Let's shout out. This is Tuesday. This was a phenomenal night of music.
Where was it again?
We just had the PAC.
Oh, okay.
But it was six freaking bands.
That I've heard of none of them.
The Cow Stills?
Nope.
I know you, every one of these bands, you would know their songs.
Okay.
And then we went into the Classic Four.
Nope.
The Vogue.
The Madonna song?
Nope. The band.
Nope.
Gary Puckett and the Union Gap Band.
Nope.
And then Little Anthony.
Little Richard?
Nope. Little Anthony.
Nope. Is it his cousin, brother?
They're brothers, obviously. They're both got the same first name, Little. And then the Turtles ended it. And that's their song, Happy Together.
So happy together.
That's the Turtles.
Okay. I've heard of them then.
Yeah.
Well, no, I haven't heard of them. I couldn't have told you that it was the Turtles.
So they did it right. They like each band had like 20 minutes.
Ding dong.
Boom. Many songs do you want? They're all hits. Boom, boom, boom. Took a break. Boom, boom, boom. Then Turtles had a little longer, and then everybody came out afterwards and sang Happy Together. They did it well. They did it great. It was phenomenal.
Congratulations.
So anybody,
how old are all these people?
Look it up. The Happy Together tour. Just go to that. Check it out. It's a great evening. And we were the youngest people there.
Were you? your daughter's one?
My daughters were the youngest people
there. They were definitely the youngest people there then.
So Calista loves Gary Puckett. And that's what drove this whole thing to go to. And
can you sing me a Gary Puckett song quickly?
No. And so she came.
Can you name me a Gary Puckett song?
When he came out.
I sing all the time. God, you're such a.
Hold on. So he came out. And she was just literally like, oh, and he's 80 years old. And then all of a sudden he takes his jacket off and she's like, oh, stop it, Gary, stop it. Yeah, she was just off the handle. It was awesome to watch. Awesome to watch.
I don't want
to
say this because it feels weird.
Don't say it.
Don't check her.
Let's go.
Search history.
Nope.
Don't check her internet search history.
We don't want to keep a pretty lady waiting.
Of course we do not. Especially this one.
Especially this one. Three-time.
Back again. Miss January 1996.
Third time's the charm.
And the
other two were
phenomenal. Founder of Rogue Bunnies.
We're going to hear all about. They haven't stopped. They have not stopped.
So without further ado, Victoria Fuller.
Get into it.
Oh, God. Now it's playing shit. Okay. Stop. 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 Oh, my God. I don't even know. Quit music. Okay. Sorry. Wow.
All right.
I can create an NFT empire, but I don't know how to work my Mac. So
I totally get it.
100%. Yes.
I had to give a presentation at work today too, and I showed my age today. I'm like, okay, I don't know how to use computers. I don't. God damn it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm so glad to be here with you guys because it's been how long since we did that first show?
Well, you've been on twice. You're our first three-time guest. So.
Oh.
The first time you were on, you hinted at having a project coming up. You weren't even to the point of being able to talk about it. And then shortly thereafter, it came out and then you came back on. But it's been.
And explained it all to us two dumb old fogies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliantly.
Has it been a year? Over what? A year?
I think it's been over a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well over a year. Yeah. So this will be exciting because like so much has happened.
Yeah, and you guys got a lot of stuff coming up.
Wow.
It really exploded.
Yeah.
I had known how much work I probably would have not, I probably would have been too intimidated to even dip my toe in the pond. But yeah, so.
But now you're in, so you're just full throttle ahead, huh?
I have no choice. I have created a freight train and I have no control over it now. So
why don't we recap that before we get into what's coming up and what's new? You are the founder of Rogue Bunnies, mm-hmm. the NFT project, and you have many, many playmates who have come on board and you now have two series of cards out and you're moving forward to Series 3, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's 100, awesome. 100 playmates?
So I have about 60 under contract, and we're going to cap it off at 100. I mean, gotcha. There's certainly many, many girls that I'm talking to, but because I onboard everybody myself, and it's a really time-consuming process, I used to do them all in Zoom, where I'd get them all on a Zoom, and then they would call me and go, I didn't catch any of that. So then I just started doing it one at a time. And it literally takes about a week. So I got to warm them up to like what I'm doing. Then I explain to them what I'm doing. And then I explain the entire NFT world to them. And then I explain to them, you know, the expectation, their roles, my role, everybody's role, the future, the roadmap, the contracts, the assets. So it's like a long process. There's no Fair. Really way around it because I really want the girls to understand what it is that what I'm doing and what they would be doing. Right.
Yeah.
Or what their role is in the project to manage expectations, as I like to say. And so, yeah, but I have pivoted quite a bit. So it'll be interesting to hear if you remember, maybe you don't, anything of what I talked about before and like what my plans were compared to like what's going on now and then the direction and aspirations for Rogue Bunnies going forward from this point on. So
what? Yeah. One of the key things I remember from early on was there was going to be like, if you bought the cards, you were going to get the key that gave you access to the Meta Mansion and
certain ones.
And, yeah. I know I never bought a, well, I have a bunch of them, but I don't have any. So
the I don't know exclusive that, ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes. And the gold key thing is in effect. Let me see if I actually have one on me right now. So the VIPs do get a gold key. I just had them made.
No.
Everybody just started getting them. In order to be a VIP, you have to be a holder of a certain amount of cards, a certain card, a level of card, etc. This kind of a thing. Legendary epics make you an automatic VIP.
Sure.
So here is a gold key.
Oh,
nice.
It's got the gatefold G and the rogue bunny.
The bunny.
Yeah, and there's a serial number on it here. So each VIP has a serial number. And this was basically like, you know, in the Playboy clubs, everyone had a key, a physical key. So when you came in, you showed the key, it had your number on it. And then when you walked into the club, there would be like a board, and it would say, so-and-so is here. And it would have the key number and who the guest was. Right.
Oh,
and so
okay.
you don't know when you walked into the club, who exactly was even in the club. And then when they left, they take the name off. So they always had a tally of who was in the room, et cetera, et cetera. So I really wanted to create, and the Playboy key looks exactly like this, except for it's silver and obviously has the bunny on it. So I really wanted to recreate that as a physical token for the VIPs to hold, because it's always nice to hold something, you know, and have a physical thing since everything is so virtual. And also now I have everybody's names and addresses. So there you have it.
Wow.
Which is a great keepsake.
Yeah, that is one of the coolest collectibles. I'm sure that people must be looking very forward to getting their keys.
They are, and it's been quite a thing. So everybody's been posting them and stuff in our Discord. And a lot of people have actually posted them on Twitter and stuff like that. Some people are like, are we allowed? I'm like, yes, you're allowed. Just show everybody. Yeah. It really has no much more of a function as a just a token, you know, just a token saying you're part of a group, a club, and just something they can hold on to. And the girls will be getting one too, and we'll be wearing them as necklaces, as a kind of a, you know, until we get further down the line and I have something a little bit nicer for the girls to wear for the necklaces, I'm going to have them wearing the key. So that's kind of, you know, on a gold chain and whatever. So yeah, so the key represents the VIP, but originally I had talked about the metaverse, right?
Like yeah, a lot about that, yep.
Yeah, you're going to get into the metaverse. And then it's like Mark Zuckerberg, I think he spent what, $400 million or 40, whatever it was, some godly amount looking for the metaverse. And then he kind of gave up.
Yeah.
And Disney also was just like, screw it, it's not ready yet. And it is being, you know, the metaverse is not one place, just like the internet is not one place. It is and it isn't. So when you go to a website, there's many websites, right? Mm-hmm. But that's like the metaverse. The metaverse is the thing that they're all on, right? Just like all these websites are on the internet. Well, the metaverse is exactly that. Everybody can have their own metaverse, their own places, their own lands, whatever they want. And early on, people were saying, oh, these people bought up all this land in the metaverse and millions of dollars have been made. That's because someone created a metaverse and sold land and made a bunch of money. But guaranteed, nobody's in that metaverse right now.
Yeah.
On that. Like, so I decided to pivot away from being so metaverse heavy because I didn't want to waste a bunch of, I had some investors and I had a nominal amount of money and I really wanted that to go really far in developing this project. And so, and I just didn't think the value was there yet. Will it be there in the future? Yes. I'm already talking to people about a certain metaverse right now called Income Island. And the graphics are beautiful and there's lots of things that can happen, but it's going to be a little bit of time before it's in beta right now. People can go and check it out, but it's going to be a little bit of time before we can actually really utilize it for the purposes of to monetize it. And also for people that are in the community to be super interested, like just walking around and looking at visuals isn't all that interesting to me. There has to be a function, an engagement, a gamification, if you will. So,
yeah.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
I'm curious.
So it sounds like a smart pivot, though.
Well, yeah. And it just doesn't make sense. If it's just not ready yet. You know what I mean? Like it's construction, so to speak. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense to get people continuing to talk about something that just I can't deliver yet. You know, I was told I could deliver it and I even spent money on people that said they could deliver it. And nothing came through. And so I just decided to stop spending money in that direction. I mean, all the money I spent in that direction was essentially poof. You know what I mean? Like it didn't really go anywhere except for telling me that that's the wrong direction. So, and I'm super frugal and I'm, you know, thrifty when it comes to spending the money that's in the Rogue Bunny's till, because this is a very expensive venture, you know, tech and all that, it's just very expensive. So, I wanted to make sure that I was really doing the project justice and, so we'll have to talk more about like what is happening.
Right.
What else do you guys remember? What else did I say? So the key thing is happening. Yes. The key thing happened.
The key thing.
Well, one thing I'm curious about, not about what you said was going to happen, but I know like the Bored Apes kind of took a shit at one point in lot. And I know like series one came out and you sold a bunch of them, and now series two came out for you guys and everything is already sold out. So obviously, did you guys feel some of that?
What do you mean compared to the Bored Apes?
Well, didn't the market for the market for the Bored Apes drop considerably? Like they went from being worth so much to
everything dropped. Okay. So like when this crypto winter happened, kind of was the start of like the Ukraine whole thing happened. And I think, you know, we had a drop that was supposed to happen during that time. And I started thinking, I don't want to do a drop during the Ukraine. Like people are dying and being exploded and like terrible things are happening. The last thing I want to do is, hey, buy my cartoon. Like it just didn't feel ethical or right at that time to even to really try and shill any kind of anything at that time. And so I pulled it back, which was a good idea because it wouldn't have sold. It wasn't the right time. It just wasn't appropriate. It just didn't feel appropriate. Like let's let people focus on helping those in need instead of trying to take up bandwidth of, you know, trying to make money off of people, off of something that wasn't saving lives, you know what I mean? So sure. To speak. So we did pivot away from that. And that, and then there was the I always get it wrong, FTX or FXT or whatever that shit show that happened that Tom Brady was even a part of.
Oh.
Not that he
oh, knew, sure.
But he was
the guy with the hair.
Yes. So there was a lot that happened around that. And basically he was this young kid. Basically you're selling trust, right? All these people trusted him, what he was doing, the platform. It seemed like it was what it was doing, the exchange, everything was going really well. But instead of the money, I guess, kind of going, basically it was funding him and his friends, right? And then when it got to a point when it was bleeding so bad, he was just like, oh, let's just cut it off. And then like, it just everybody lost in that, and including him. And you know, he's going to be in jail forever. And that was really a huge hit on top of the crypto winter that was already happening. So a lot of things did tank. I don't think anything that the Bored Apes, that anything that they did was anything unusual that would have caused anything like that. I just think it was a sign of the times. And also there was all these crypto millionaires that came up all of a sudden because people that invested in Bitcoin and Ethereum, some of these, me included, some of these coins, we made all this money like out of thin air, right? Like I invested $1,200 and I made $28,000 in like a matter of months, just off of my little couple coins that I bought. Because my Ethereum went from, when I bought it was 300, it went up to 4,800.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was like, every week I was just like, oh my God, it's growing. I'm like, we're going to Disneyland. We're going to, you know, like, oh, it's going to grow. And I started investing in NFTs and, I really thought there was going to be more projects like Bored Apes. There was a couple blue chip, projects that came out. I bought them early on, and one of my NFTs went to like 26. I bought it for $600 and it went to 26. Someone offered me up to $26,000. It just kept climbing and climbing. And I thought, and I was talking to another friend who also, I got to invest in this NFT. And I said, oh my gosh. He goes, what are you going to do? He had two of them. He was getting both $25,000 on each one. And I said, I'm going to hang on to it. It's going to be Bored Apes. We're going to be millionaires. So excited, right? And I ended up selling it for like $2,500 because it went up and down a little bit and it got to 8,000 and I thought I should sell. And then I'm like, no, it might get back. So it's just like, it's just one of those things that's really hard to tell, you know, what's going to hit. But there was all these new millionaires, nowhere to spend their money. There wasn't as much variety with the NFTs as there is now, where it's just saturated, right? I mean, there's marketplaces up the yin yang. There's everybody had a project. They call it rug pulling when people would put a project out, get the money, and then shut it all down. Or if the project just failed, it's also called rugging, right? So there was a lot of rugged projects, sure, where people lost. And then when it got saturated, people started stepping back going, we're just not going to buy everything. Cause there was a point where people were just buying and selling and actually making a lot of money just off of investing in NFTs, buying them low, selling them high, sweeping the floor. So, and that just kind of came to an end. There was a couple key people in that world, if you were in those communities, that passed away. And it kind of also changed things a little bit. I felt like the tone changed quite a bit. People weren't as like giddy and happy and amazed. And just people got really angry and pissed off and soured really towards investing in NFTs and everything else and super skeptical.
Sure.
So by the time we launched, everybody was like, fuck you, we're not investing in anything. And so it was really tough. So we basically had to start with a few crumbs, a couple of community members. I mean, we started with like 10 people in our Discord, you know, when like Playboy had 75,000 people in their Discord, we had like 10, and we just slowly grew, and we just, you know, we planted the seed, we watered it, and we just been growing so organically. There's a lot of projects also that purchased bots. So they would look like that they had a lot more people in their Discord and their communities and on their Twitter page and in their Instagram. So it looked like it had a lot more followers, a lot more things going on. And really they didn't. It was just all paid BS. And we got a lot of offers to do that. And I said, no, I don't want to look a certain way. I really want to have the numbers because we earned the numbers. And these are real people that are following us and not like a fake community to appear to be more successful than we were, because people are getting smart. And once they find out that you've done that, then they don't have any confidence in you. And once you
the trust is gone, then
the trust is gone. Once you lose the trust in people. So we have a lot of trust. We have an amazing community. The people, men and women in our community and the bunnies that are on this are like super solid. And like, it's just a real joy. Like, we check in with each other all day long in our Discord. We're in there all the time. We say good morning, good night. We know people's birthdays, anniversaries, achievements, what their kids are doing. It's all really good, clean fun. You know, it's a real family. It became a real family. That was something I was not expecting. I just thought it was going to be just the people were just going to come and buy NFTs and that was just going to be it. But it turned out to be, these are like people that they have my personal phone number and I talk to them and we message and like, I'm available. You know what I mean? I'm available to my team and to my community, especially the people that are, not everybody has my phone number, it's not passed out, but right. The people that are serious and in the community and there all the time, any of those people I'm available to all the time. You know, I love talking with them and hanging out and getting to know everybody and making them feel like they're special and a part of something special, especially because these are all early people, right? We're still really early in our thing, even though it seems like I've been doing this for a really long time. It's like been since 2020. It's 2023. How did that happen? Wow, the time just went by really quick.
Well, and I assume you guys considered the Series 2 launch a pretty big success, because like I said, they seem to sell out and sell out pretty quickly. So I know I tried to get my hands on some more recently and was, they're all gone. So,
well, someone bought, so we put them out, and then we all of a sudden got a bunch of new community members, and we do challenges, and they started getting really competitive with each other, these guys collecting and whatever. And the numbers just started falling. We're like, oh my God, it started to really roll. So whatever happened, it just kind of, we tapped into something. It sold out. Series 2 was a smaller collection than Series 1. So when we launched Series 1, it was supposed to be this big, and then we made it this big, but Series 2 this big, because Series 1 sold, I think there was 37,000 NFTs in the collection, right? So we sold 28,000. So we had all these, and they're sold in packs. So I'm just giving you kind of a ballpark. So we decided Series 2, let's make it a total of 28,000 so that they matched, because we weren't going to sell Series 1 anymore. We're going to burn them. We're going to get rid of them. And so just have what they were. And then Series 2 came out, and then they just all sold out. And then the community was like, well, how do we get more Series 1 packs? You know, because there was still some
growing legendary,
epic cards that had never been pulled out of the packs. They were still in packs. We were going to burn them. We were going to do everything. And then people were just like, please don't burn them. Please don't get rid of them. And so then we just reopened Series 1 packs, and someone went in and bought, they bought all the uncommon packs. I don't know how many hundreds of packs there were, but they bought all that was there. Like one guy bought all of them. So then we're now almost sold out of series one. So yeah, so like it's really kind of funny because we're like, you know, but we do talk to our community a lot and ask them first, like, how would you feel about this? Would, you know, a couple people want this? You be in agreement? Because what we don't want to do is be like, oh, we're doing this and now we're doing this and now we're, and everyone's like, what is, you know, what's going on? We really try to keep everyone in the loop and get a vibe because it's really important in this business, in this collectible, in this NFT world. The community is like number one, you know, without the community, you have nothing. And one of the things Hugh Hefner did when he was running Playboy and he even lost money off of it, it was all about the end consumer. It was all about them. So whatever it is that they wanted, he wanted to deliver that to them. And he fought a lot of times with Playboy because they're like, well, that's not cost effective and this is going to cost us money. And he's like, yeah, but this is what they want. So I want to give that to them. And no matter what it takes, I want to make sure and deliver that to them. And I always thought that was really cool because he was concerned about the end user. The end user is everything. Without the end user, you have the product. So deliver, deliver, deliver.
And that's how you get keep people coming back and how you get new people interested is by delivering consistency and,
right,
and giving them what they want.
Faithfulness. Yeah. You don't want to change the game once you get into it, you know, by increasing stuff, you know, you buy into it. Now you're going to do more. So you stick with what you do. And people appreciate that. Yeah.
And having the sold out was like, it was so epic because we sold out. And then I got so many emails and so many text messages and phone calls of people going, oh my God, because we're in a time right now in this crypto winter where nothing is selling out, nothing is moving. And even though we were selling them packs or however we were selling out, I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. But people were, it really resonated with people. Like, it became really, really cool. And with Dapper Labs, and this is just a testament how bad everybody was doing, because we were charting as top, at one point we were number one over NBA Top Shops, but mind you, of people collecting within a day's time or whatever, because things had just slowed down so much and we were just moving and shaking. So we were charting at top seven of all Dapper Labs products for like 4 weeks straight. So it doesn't mean anything to you guys or anything like that, but people that are in the Dapper community, like we get regular emails from them and we kept charting as, you know, in the top of all the projects and whatever. So, and there's Dr. Seuss, there's Barbie, there's NBA Top Shots and NFL, WWF or whatever it is. So there's some really big names that are in there. And we were, Inspector Gadget was another one. It's really strange. And then Snoop Dogg one called T-Cal, and they do music. They sell NFT music. And we were charting better than them. So we're like, okay, nice. We're doing something right. It's pretty exciting when you get those numbers and you start getting the attention like that. It starts to feel like, oh my God, finally, because it is an unbelievable amount of work. And I work 8 days a week, and I understand why Hugh Hefner lived in his bed, because I literally keep my phone and my computer on my bed next to me, and I literally wake up and I get right on and I'm on the Discord and I'm on my phone and I'm on my computer, and I haven't even, like, you know, gotten up and brushed my teeth or like anything. I just roll right over, and then I get to myself later. Just so I could get right to work. Cause a lot of people are on the East Coast, I'm on West Coast. And so they've all been working for 3 hours. So when I log in, the team have all been talking for 3 hours, and I'm constantly catching up with their dialogue in our admin channel. But they have all these things and all these decisions, and they're like, okay, we're going to wait for Victoria to wake up. And I like, I get 7 a.m. and I'm still late to the game. It's like, oh my God. So yeah,
it's gotta be a great feeling though. From three years ago.
It's amazing because I have this dream team. I don't know how I got so lucky. It's just the strangest thing, because I started out with different people and none of them were working. I mean, and I was thinking, oh my God, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I have taken it upon myself to learn everything right down to coding, and I'm not good at the coding, and I can't say that I know coding, but I've taken it upon myself to learn every hat that can be worn in this project, because there's so many things that I've had to do myself because if something didn't work out or I didn't have that position filled, then I would have to be like, well, I just got to keep it going. So like I do animation, I do production, I do the intake form, I do the assets for the social media, I do the podcast, I write the text, I do the content, I write the contracts, I onboard the girls. So like I'm doing all these things. And so it's to have a team that's like doing their thing so I don't have to do those things now has been like, they're just a really great team. Jen Pershing is a sample and she's awesome. I mean, I don't know how she does it. She's got two kids. I have a 16-year-old that I don't have to do anything for anymore. And she has kids and she's on her phone. She does all the social media. She runs all the social media for Rogue Bunnies Mayhem, which is the podcast, our Twitter, our TikTok, our Instagram, our threads, for everything. And she's literally she's going to have a crick in her neck because she's on her phone 40 hours a week. She's on her phone. On her phone doing socials. I mean, this girl is so dedicated. And she also keeps me in check. This person is trying to get a hold of you. And did you know that this happened? And did you see this post? And this girl wrote this. And like, I don't know how, like, I would have such a hard time without her. Like, if something happens to her, I'm in big trouble. And we have Chinny, who's our Discord community manager, but he also does, you know, he's got a day job where he makes tons of money. He doesn't even need this at all. And he's super successful marketing tech person that just loves the project. And so he does a lot of stuff. He runs the community. He helps with just so many things in the back end. He helps me with Excel spreadsheets and he sets stuff up for me. He keeps me super organized and he deals with the tech part of the community with our developer, Darian. And Darian is basically the backbone of the entire project. I have to say, people think it's me, but it's not. If I did not have Darian, I would be these three people. If I did not have these three people, I just don't know what I would do because it's gotten to a point where I couldn't physically do everything myself at this point. Even if I wanted to, I wouldn't be able to keep up with it, the demand. So, and they're so trustworthy.
The product would suffer if.
Oh, it would totally suffer.
If you did. So that's great.
Yeah. And also the community knows all them now. So they have become very reliant on talking to the community and the communicating with them. It's like, sometimes I come in, I'm like, hi, you'd think I'd be a big deal being the founder and everything. They're like, nah. Like they want to talk to Darian. They want to talk to Chinny. They want to talk to Jen. So yeah, which I love because it does take it takes all of us combined to really make this happen.
Right.
And when I talked to you guys that first time, I had no clue. No.
Well, you sounded confident.
You had a dream. Yeah. You had a dream. And
I had a total vision and everything. And I knew what I was doing at that point. But what I've learned since then is like, I didn't know what I was doing.
I'm so excited that we had that conversation with you. Cause it's cool that that we had it before this all took off and now you're here and letting us talk to you again, which is so fantastic. We're so thrilled to be a tiny little portion of this.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate that. And every girl and every bunny we've had on since, their selling point was how passionate you are about it. And they have nothing but good things to say. And they said, we trust Victoria so much because of her passion. And it's great to watch.
I think they're just thankful that they don't have to think about it, have to worry about what, like the inner workings of it. They're like, it's just, a lot of them are just like, you just do it. I don't even just like, sure. I'm glad we're not having to think about all that. Cause sometimes I go into the technical part of stuff and they're just like, they're like, don't care. Don't want to know.
Like
so
me.
They're like, yeah. Yeah. Totally, totally glaze over. They're like,
so let's talk about what's coming.
You've got
series 3 coming. How do you feel any pressure right now to deliver series 3 and make it, you know, as big as 2 was? And are you feeling it, or are you confident with what you got coming up?
Oh, so confident because for one, there's been an evolution every time. Every series that comes out is going to have, it's bigger and better. There's an upgrade of some kind. Just like the Apple phone, right? Like you got to constantly have new features.
Right.
So So series three has, so series one was what it was. Series two had, I had started to put in the epic card a video moment, like NBA Top Shots, where there's a video moment. And then, so that was like an Easter egg, and they found it, and they're like, oh, this whatever. And so now series three is going to be a three-sided card, and one of the sides has a video moment. And it won't be on every single card, like the common cards, but it will be on the higher cards. And so the card has three sides, and the card itself looks, you know, this color scheme, the color schemes are the same for like common's always green and uncommon's kind of a brass and gold is epic, you know, so on and so forth. So color schemes are going to stay consistent so that we can identify them, but the cards themselves, the texture of the cards are going to be different.
Yep. Yep. So and series three is only going to have 10 girls in it.
Okay.
I decided to make the series smaller so that it was, well, for one, it's just such a huge undertaking to do 25 girls. It's like, it's unbelievable amount of work. And I wanted the series to be, I wanted the putting out the series to be sooner, you know. I don't want to wait 6 months in between each series. So that was the thought behind doing smaller series. Okay, you know, then it's, yeah, just having them more often.
Do you have
and they sell out easier, right?
That's true. So, yeah, do you have a date or approximate date when series three is coming out?
I don't, because we've had so many things going on. I would say probably in the next 60 days or less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I have about five of the girls in the completed and ready to go. So it's really a matter of getting the rest of the girls' assets and then putting them together. So, yeah.
I'd imagine just the girls talking, you know, like that were maybe skeptical at first, were just like seeing, watching how it grows. And now they're like, heck yeah, I want on board.
Yeah, some girls have, but I mean, I still think it's just such a new idea that people, that most girls just really don't, aren't just in that. I mean, I feel like everybody knows about it now, but really people don't. I mean, it's really still only 5% of the world is really aware of what an NFT even is. Right. So the Web3 space is really still very, pretty small. You know, we're not anywhere close to mass adoption yet at all. So it's going to take a lot of, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of work. But one of the things that happened when I went to get some more, to find more investors and whatnot. And the many that I spoke to happened during, right when the FTX thing happened, a lot of them are like, we're just sure. Bad time for investors. And one of them, whom a billionaire, basically said, you need to take part of your business off chain. You need to take part of Rogue Bunnies and take it off chain until the crypto thing gets a little bit warmed up a little. That way you can continue to monetize, build in the background, still grow your community, have everything that you're doing, but don't rely on the NFTs as like the sole thing that your project is riding on. And so that, and when the idea of Metaverse ended, I decided, I did a couple in real life events at the Ziggy Hotel in Los Angeles with Scott Page. We celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Dark Side of the Moon party, which was like epic. And what happened was, is our community were like getting FOMO about it. Like, oh my God, I want to go to the next one. And this is amazing. And they started talking, and there was something that happened. And I was like, I had not wanted to do in real life stuff because I wanted to make things convenient for the girls. You don't have to take your rollers out of your hair. Nobody has to see you. We're going to make money without having to leave our home or our computer. And then these in real life happened. And then the girls were like, well, I want to go. And I'm like, I didn't think anybody would even want to show up. So of course they did. And so now what we're doing is the pivot that we're making is having these in real life events, which I'm calling Mansion 2.0 experience, which is basically taking everything that we learned about the Playboy Mansion and the parties that Hef threw and the whole energy around it and the bunnies, and recreating those at mansions around the world. And when you're a VIP in our community, you get in for free and you're invited to all of them. And so this is what's happening. So on September 14th in Las Vegas, We are having our very first on our own without without being a like, you know, not with Scott Payton, not with a bunch of other people kind of coming together as like, you know, like a collective. We are holding our first Mansion 2.0 experience at the Verona Sky Villa in the Westgate Hotel. It's where Elvis used to stay. It was his room. It's 15,000 square feet. It's next level for sure. It's beyond. It's like the Prince of Brunei would stay there or something. It's just really,
it's beautiful. Amazing.
It's so beautiful. It's incredible. It's at the top floor. It has its own elevator. Everything's like gold leaf and marble. And just like, it's just really elegant. It's exactly what you would think a mansion would look like, you know, if people have the idea. And so, our first party is going to be there, and it's in conjunction with the Breathe Conference, which is happening the 13th and 14th of September at the World Market Convention Center. So we'll actually have a booth there. There's lots of festivities going on. There's all kinds of celebrities coming to the convention, which means they're all coming to our party. We've kind of merged with Breathe in terms of, like, I've really gotten to know all the founders of Breathe and the owners of Breathe. And they've just been really great people. And so I'm like, let's make this is the finale party. So it's kind of like, the convention happens, and then this is the place to be on the last day is our party, is like the finale party. It's also basically our 1 year anniversary since we launched.
Perfect.
Actually, this month, August was, I thought it was September, but someone in my community is like, no, it's been a year today. Like, they knew better than I did. Wow. Yeah. So I'm that's like, awesome. I didn't know it was August, but that's interesting. So we're going to have this big party. Yep. And it's 250 people. Only, and it's we have full open bar. We have an exquisite menu of food. There's actually a butler's kitchen pantry. There's going to be 7 servers, 3 bartenders, 4 security guards, 15 playmates. Scott Page said he's coming and bringing his saxophone. There's a grand piano in there, so if anybody wants to play, we're gonna have a DJ. We're also going to have this guy named Mel. He does Deechin and the Blockchain. It's a trivia show that's on chain. And we've actually done it before. It's a trivia game. It's a game show. Okay. And so I said, why don't you set up your game show? And we'll do like a 20-minute game show. We'll pull people from the party and we'll give away prizes. So we're going to have that there. And so it should be really exciting. We have everything but the ice sculpture, because my budget got really thin after everything. And so like I had to scrap a couple ideas at the party, but the ice sculpture was the one that I was like, oh, I'm not going to get the ice sculpture now. That sucks. Cause you know,
they melt anyway.
Yeah. You've arrived if you have the ice sculpture.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, and you got the vodka flowing through it. It's kind of a thing. So but we have the pool, and we'll have you know, everybody we'll have things floating in the pool. But it should be really cool. It should be really fun, and we're very excited. And it's from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. in the morning. And we're selling tickets.
I assume you contacted us to talk to us because you wanted to personally give us our invite. Is that
Yeah, you guys, if you guys want to come, I will have 2 tickets for you. For sure. Yeah, it should be a really good time, and this is really going to set the tone for, we have sponsors, we have, you know, we have a step and repeat, we have a red carpet on the way in.
That's awesome.
So it's really going to set the tone for our future parties. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be like, we're pulling out all the stops, and then people are going to go, yeah, that was a night to remember. I tell people, if you can't handle like the best night of your life, don't come, don't buy a ticket, don't show up, because it's going to be fabulous. And so I'm really excited about it. But yeah, we're already planning parties later on in the year. And then we've been invited to connect with a group to do a huge party at Art Basel. They want us to bring our Mansion 2.0 experience to Art Basel, so we're talking with someone on that. And so it's been really exciting.
So much fun. This is awesome.
Yeah. So to get the tickets, they can go where to buy a ticket for this? So
if you go to, yes, if you want to, I don't know if you're going to air this in time, but if they go
to. Yeah, we are. We'll make sure this gets out before. Yeah.
We're making sure. Yes.
Okay. So if you go to Mansion mansion.roguebunnies.com, mansion.roguebunnies.com. You don't do the www, just mansion.roguebunnies.com. That'll take you to the page and you'll see everything that's there. One of our big sponsors is Nextio, and they're an amazing group, and they've plopped down a bunch of money, so they're covering the cost of they're taking off for limited time, they're covering part of the tickets for people who buy tickets right now. So I think it's $500 off that they're doing. So they're covering that cost. So to bring the ticket price down, which is kind of cool of them.
Very cool.
And they'll all be there. They're having a big golf tournament thing like on the 12th. They're having like a helicopter where you could drop the ball out of the helicopter. And if you get a hole in one, you get a Ferrari. I mean, they got some crazy shit going on.
That's awesome.
It was really too much for us to be a part of the golf thing. I was like, I just don't think I could handle like one more activity with everybody. So,
well, you're a speaker at the Breathe Convention too, aren't you?
I am. I'm speaking on the 14th at 12:45, and I'm on the main stage, and I'm speaking with a few other key women in the Web3 space. So that's going to be really exciting. Because a lot of these women I've talked to for the last year, I've never met in person. So this is going to be really, I've not met a lot of these people in person. Everybody's that little, you know, like a little, they call it a PFP, your little profile picture, right?
That's it.
And that's it. And a voice. And so like some people are turtles and hippos and lizards and like whatever it is that they're. So it's going to be interesting, because when we had our in real life event at the Ziggy Hotel, guys would come up to me and they're like, oh yeah, I'm Superhero -5792. I'm like, oh my God, you know, like.
Yeah.
What's your real name? But then if I get their real name, now I have two names. I'm terrible with names. So like, I'm just like, just tell me your name in the Discord or your Twitter handle, because then I'll be like, oh yeah, I totally know who you are now.
Yeah, so easier.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You live in a digital world. You don't need real names.
Right.
No. We don't need to. Yeah.
So in addition to speaking at the Breathe Convention, touch a bit on what that is for people that don't know.
So the Breathe Convention is like a fully, it's really about education. They really want to educate the public, and it's about Web3, AI, NFT, blockchain, cryptocurrency, all of the above, all rolled into one. It's about educating people into the space, and you know, professional people in the space are talking about what they do, how they got there, and kind of everyone's journey along the way. So it's really an educational convention for Web3.
Nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then end it with a big party.
With a big, yeah, the biggest party.
There's several parties. There's like a party on Tuesday. There's a party on Wednesday. There's our party on Thursday. So there's a lot going on. So I heard Elon Musk is in town. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you can find him. Let's get him in the Verona.
I was going to say, is there a bonus for somebody if they can get him to the party?
Oh, I'm sure I can figure out a bonus. I don't know. I don't even know what that bonus would be. But of course, that would be awesome. I have a hard time thinking he's going to want to, because it's one elevator up. It's, you know, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
someone like him, I don't know how he walks around the world without feeling like a target. Like, yeah. I would be like, oh my God, someone's going to kill me at any second. Like a bullet is coming. Someone wants me dead. I'm too rich, you know, too much power. So I bet he has a really hard time just being in public. He lives in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yes, yeah, his kids went to school with my former boyfriend the same time. Yeah. So it was really weird. It's like, and I knew, I saw the kids, and then later on people say, oh, those are Elon Musk's kids. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. That's interesting. They're just at this little private school. Sweet kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good.
Being the big tattoo fan I am, I got to ask about the Inkbox.
Inkbox.
Yes. And your
temporary tattoos. Where did that come from? And is there more? Is there going to be more to that?
So I was in a Twitter space, and a woman who runs the Super Lottles, which is Inkbox's NFT collection, and Lottles are like a salamander, so to speak. So like it's a 3D animated cute character They all have their own individual tattoos. There's 10,000 of them in the collection. Every single one has their individual tattoo on their NFT. So they did a whole big thing. And in one of the spaces, this woman named Rebecca. So that's a great thing about this space is I can contact anybody, anywhere, because it's people are so much more accessible. So I just wrote to her on Twitter. I said, "Hey, my name is Victoria Fuller. I have this project. How do I get involved with Inkbox? I'm such a fan." And she wrote me back within 15 minutes and said, "Oh, well, I can help you." And so I went through the process of creating the what I would want to be on the tattoos and then submitted it. And like within 3 weeks, they're like, "Yeah, we approve you." So I couldn't, it wasn't really like, there are Rogue Bunny NFT, there are Rogue Bunny tattoos, but they really don't do companies, they do individuals. So the art, because it's all based on like, as if I was a tattoo artist. So sure. They did, it's a big, so you can only find, if you go to inkbox.com or whatever, you would have to look up Victoria Fuller to find the Rogue Bunnies Inkbox tattoos. And then there's one of them that's really super exclusive, and you have to be a holder of either our NFT or a super lotto NFT in order to access the super duper tattoo.
Again, exclusive.
Damn. It's exclusive.
Yeah, that's part of some of the charm of a lot of this is that right. Being exclusive, and I sure. Only get it. So yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
So that was like it. You know, it's not like it's not a get rich thing for sure, but to have that connection and be able to have that like extra thing, it's just fun. It was just really, it was really exciting to be able to work with them. I went to the mall today with my daughter, and there was an Inkbox store. Which I'd never seen before. And I was like, that's weird. It's all Inkbox, everything. You could get the tattoos. They can even put them on for you. And I was like, oh, hey, this is cool. I'd never, like, now I see Inkbox everywhere, right? Now that I'm involved with them, I feel like they've just really expanded. But they're a global business. I mean, Inkbox is in every country. So, their marketplace is huge. They even sell in Walmart, of all places. So they're just everywhere. Yeah. They're not selling Rogue Bunnies tattoos in Walmart. I'm just on the marketplace, but they do sell everywhere. Wow. So it is pretty exciting. Yeah,
it is. It's big, and it's for everyone. It's a temporary tattoo, but it lasts a couple of weeks. Temporary. And the color works with your chemical of your body and changes colors as it goes. It sounds really neat.
Yeah, I have one very important tip. Do not sweat. Do not be anywhere where your skin is going to be moist or wet, because then it'll bleed a little bit. And then you have this thing that's not coming off you for like a week, that's kind of bled. Cause I did like four of them and only one came out, cause I just wasn't doing it right. Oh, okay. So, and you can't move around. So for like an hour, wherever you put the tattoo, you don't want that skin to move. Cause you don't want your skin to flex or move and then have it, you know, kind of spreading around or whatever, but it looked really great. Some of the girls got it right away. I struggled with it, but a bunch of the girls I got samples and I sent them out to the Playmates and they did great ones. Like Raquel, she did a really cute one. Heather Spytek, she did a bunch of pictures with her tattoo. She had it on her tailbone. She had a cute one and then one on her leg. So she did a bunch of different pictures, and Inkbox made lottles out of those, imitating the girls that did that posted about it. So my phone is like, yeah. So it was actually really cool that they did that for the girls and stuff. But that's awesome. It was super fun.
I do remember seeing a lot of the pictures of the girls posting. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's commitment. All these Playmates got tattoos, and then after I dug into it, it was not real ones, but still they look terrific.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll get the real one.
Well, if we hit a certain mile marker financially in the project, then a lot of us have committed to actually getting a real tattoo put on.
Okay.
Which of course I would pay for. So we would all commit and get it. We would get that done. So something to look forward to, and a milestone. We'll see.
It is
what
a cool logo. The Rogue Bunny logo is very
cool.
Not
bad, right?
Yeah. It makes for a good tattoo.
Yes. And we're just coming through the end of our trademark. So we've gotten through all the oppositions. There's nothing opposing us. We're in the final stage. So it's very exciting. We're about to have the words Rogue and Bunnies in the digital collectible NFT pinup category. So yeah, so everybody in the NFT world needs to watch out, because I am going to protect that trademark like Playboy did, and really so that we can really use it and brand ourselves. Or they could pay us a licensing fee if they want to use those trademarks that we own.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
That's a big step. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't see an end. Excited. There's not like an end for
there
what
is,
you can
well,
do.
There's a 10, there's a, there is a 10-year plan, and we do aspire to have a physical mansion again. And I've been looking in Las Vegas to do that, because it's a place where that's easy for people to get to. And it would be basically run like a club, a membership. So we would be able to rent it out for events, photo shoots, and things like that. It would pay for itself.
Yeah.
But we would have our own community style events and whatnot. And if you're a member, a key holder, then you are welcome to come hang out like a country club. And nice. It'll be a hub for the girls again, and a place that where we could have all our own functions without having to worry about finding venues and whatnot. So I do want a home base in, it's either going to be Las Vegas or Texas, actually. Someone's like, you should be in Florida. I'm like, I don't want to do Florida. I don't want to do the bugs and the crocodiles and all that stuff. Like, Florida is very NFT savvy. Yes. But it is also very super expensive. So,
sure. You
know, for $20 million, you're not going to get much in Florida. For $20 million in Las Vegas.
Well, Vegas, yes, might as well just jump onto the, you know, the party scheme of it all. And
well, yeah,
that'd be a great home base.
And Austin, yeah. Texas has become a big tech center. So
it is. Yeah. It is. And very much you can still get property there for a decent amount. You know, and it's beautiful there, and there's a lot going on there in sports. There's a lot more probably rain there than there is in Vegas. Like, yeah. Vegas is getting pretty dry. Mm-hmm. But a lot is moving to Vegas, you know, because people are sick of California, the taxes. It's just not affordable. Not affordable anymore. Like, the guy that owns the mansion, and he's done so much construction. He put in a bowling alley. He extended. He put a whole nother wing of the mansion on, which is really interesting. He drained the koi pond. So there's a lot of changes that he's made, but I can't imagine what his taxes are like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Especially now.
$20 million a year, right? Like, who has, well, he can afford it, but why would you want to afford to just.
You give the government that much money?
Right.
That much money. So $100 million over 10 years, when think of what you could do with $100 million to, like, you know, I don't know, just. There's a lot of people you could probably help with $100 million.
You could help a lot. Yeah.
And I could go to a lot of Rogue Bunny parties for $100 million.
You could go to all the Rogue Bunny parties.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're definitely going to make one. I don't, you know, we got to do one of these things.
One of them.
So,
well, you got to do one of them. And if you want to do this one, then you need to get in touch with me, and I have some room discounts that I can give you. And, bring you, if you want to come to Vegas, then you should let me know, and we can make it happen. But I think it's going to be the party to be at this year. And
sounds like it.
Visit. Yeah.
Sounds like it. Oh.
We'll have to have a meeting.
Yeah.
With the executives after this.
Yeah.
And you guys do something with Ashley, which is very exciting. Awesome.
Love it. Yeah, we have started. Yeah, we've started a second little side project with Ashley. Miss December 2010, Ashley Hobbs. We talk marijuana and cannabis and all the fun things that go along with it. And she's been a lot of fun to work with. We keep saying this, when we started this thing, we never could have imagined we'd be talking with Playmates, and now we're talking to two of them on the same night. So this is just
that's so cool.
Taking us beyond.
I call her my 420 bunny, and there's another girl named Christine Smith who's deep in the 420 business. She has her own show, and I'm sure you've heard of her. And so the two of them, I've been trying to connect them. I'm like, why don't you guys create a 420 bunny vertical for Rogue Bunnies? And, like, you know, it's like, maybe there's something there. There's a whole community of people that would probably love to, you know, do something with the bunnies and
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty lucrative.
Speaking of other podcasts, and you promote your, you've got the Mayhem show that, isn't it one of the butlers from the mansion that is kind of the host of the thing?
Yeah. So Brian Allais ran, he did Playboy Radio. He did the Mansion Mayhem, which was a Playboy radio show. They weren't podcasts back then. It was actually radio. And he was on Sirius Radio and he did that for 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
And he had all kinds of hosts. He had Raquel, he had Jennifer, he had all kinds of girls come in and co-host with him. He, and he was head butler for 21 years. And of course, longtime friends of all the Playmates. And so he was, hadn't done anything for a couple of years. And when I started talking to him, and he's like, what do you think about doing a podcast? I'll just put it all together. We'll call it Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. And I'm like, yeah, you do it all. I don't want to, you know, like I'm too busy. And then he's like, well, no, you got to be one of the hosts. And he brought in Scott Ramsey, who's a big radio personality, not personality, a radio. And he just called.
Okay.
My daughter. So, love you. So, so he came on board as a host. So it's the three of us, and it just kind of became a thing. And it was really about bringing Mansion, Playboy Mansion alum and inner circle of Hef and, butlers and people that worked for Hef, not people that worked for Playboy, but people that exclusively worked for Hef and the bunnies. And then me bringing in the NFT Web3 world and just kind of merging the two. So it's been really great. And it's called Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. And you can find it at rbmayhemshow.com. And we launch a new episode, 30-minute episode every Monday. So yeah, that's been going on. That's been a lot of fun. I was like, I was just kind of being really kind of casual about it. But then I was like, oh no, this is really cool. I really like doing it. And it's a great way to get people in that world. Like, hey, you want to do our podcast? They come on and you get to learn all about them. Right. So it's kind of a win-win, really. It's super fun. Sure. So now I know why you guys do what you do. Right. Yeah.
Well, I got to admit, when I saw it, I was a little scared. I'm like, oh, now we've lost all access to these lovely ladies. They'll never come back, but you keep coming on. We appreciate it.
But it is a fun podcast. The Mayhem is definitely. Yeah. You seem like you're having a blast when you're talking.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. And we have a studio in Torrance. So we actually have a physical studio, which is like a very beautiful space that Scott Ramsey put together. We have all our pinball machines there. And like, you know, we have a bar there. And we've had a lot of fun with it. We're gonna all be there on the 26th. It's like a full day of just people coming through. We do the Steam Yard, you know, we do this, but we haven't quite perfected that. It's really our in real life ones that seem to be the better shows for us, where we can get video and audio together at the same time. But yeah, it's been a total blast. So, and we always tell all the girls, a lot of the girls now over time, not recently, because a lot of them done your show. They're like, what do you think about this dimple in the beard? Are they safe? And we're like, oh yeah, go do the show. So, so hopefully you've been getting a lot of Playmates over the last couple months, because now everybody wants to do your show because we've all done it. So they want to do it. And awesome. Hopefully that's made it easier for you guys to get girls.
Hey, we're one of the girls. That's fine. We're okay.
Yeah, you can be one of the girls.
Yeah, we like it. We like it. Yeah, we just had an episode with Shannon Stewart. So we definitely have been.
Oh, I love her. She's amazing. She lives in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. She was awesome.
We had a good time.
So before we let you go, any little teaser on who's in series 3? Are you able to release?
So I will tell you, because we've kind of people already know. Nikki Lee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tishara Casino.
Nice.
Kimberly Phillips.
Okay.
Christine Smith.
Okay.
Okay, so these are the girls that are like, their stuff is already in the can. And the other girls I'm talking to, so I don't want to mention them you know, I've noticed whenever girls are wiggly and then I mention and then I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that.
Yep,
we've had two girls back out that weren't in series 1 or 2 and then we replaced them. So like, you know, I'm super careful about it, but but for the most part, yeah, I have 60 girls under contract with Rogue Bunnies right now. Yeah, so it's pretty good.
We had to
do have international bunnies as well. that I'm working on. And there's some girls that were like Playmate of the Year for Czech Republic and for Germany and things like that. So, yeah. So we've been talking to those girls and
just keep growing.
That's awesome.
Just keep growing.
It's exciting. Growing. Yeah.
Tashara was actually one of the first Playmates we had on. We had her on quite a while ago.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
Sweet. And her last name's Cosino. It's like Casino. It's so funny.
She's made for Vegas. Yeah.
She's totally made for Vegas. Yeah. I had to hound her though. I had to really bug her. I'm like, please. And she's like, I want to. She's just so busy. And finally I'm like, I'm going to give up on you. And she's like, here's my pictures. I'm like, So I finally got her. She's one of my faves. All the girls on the project are the girls that I really love. They're the girls that I am. Yeah. That I like the most out of all of the Playmates that exist. These are the girls I like the most. So it's a good team.
Awesome.
So far it's been wonderful.
One more before we let you, who are some of the bunnies that will be at the party?
Okay. So, cool. If you go to mansion.roguebunnies.com, there is a list of girls that are on there. But it's me, Jen Pershing, Terry Harrison, Ava Fabian,
I saw Amber Campisi.
Amber's a blast.
I would have had Ashley, but the flight is so long for such a short period of time. It didn't really make sense. Allison Waite. Oh my gosh. I'm going to
put you on the spot. I know.
Yeah.
Go to the website and look at the list.
Go ahead and look at the website. There's 15 of us or 14 of us that'll be there. So yeah.
I was going to say, and if the names you've already listed weren't enough to get you to want to go, I don't know what you're thinking. So,
yeah, Carly Lauren, Raquel Pomplin. Mm-hmm. There's some. I'm trying to think of who, because I bunked the girls together. So I'm trying to think of who I put together in the different rooms.
I think I can speak for my co-host. We would do a lot to party with Amber Campisi because she seems like just a ball of fun.
Yes,
she is. And I can't wait. I cannot wait.
She was a blast. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming back on. You're like we said, the first third time guest we've had. So we really appreciate it. And we hope this relationship continues and we'll get to keep talking to you.
Absolutely. Yes. I can't wait to come. Next time I come on, we'll see what happens then.
Awesome.
Love the growth. Appreciate everything you're doing.
You too.
All right, thanks, guys. Yeah, have a good night.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Hey guys, it's Miriam Love here, and I want to share something very special with you. Check out my new release, All In, the Spanish Remixes, out now on Electric House Records. And always remember, be love, share love, all love.
Available now wherever you listen to music.